Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we're diving into why A students work for C students and B students work for the government by Robert T. Kiyosaki, an eye-opening analysis that sheds light on the shortcomings of our educational system in preparing the youth for real-world financial challenges. Published in 2013, this book tackles the crucial subject of financial education, or rather, the lack thereof in schools, against the backdrop of a global financial crisis. Kiyosaki argues that the responsibility falls on parents to equip their children with the knowledge and skills for financial stewardship. Robert T. Kiyosaki, an entrepreneur, educator, and author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the number one best-selling personal finance book of all time, brings his wealth of knowledge and experience to this compelling read. With over 24 books to his name, including collaborations like Why We Want You to Be Rich, co-written with Donald J. Trump, Kiyosaki is no stranger to challenging the status quo and pushing for a shift in how we approach financial education. Why A students work for C students and B students work for the government is tailored for parents looking to lay a solid financial foundation for their children, individuals curious about the educational system's neglect of money management, and fans of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, seeking further insights from Kiyosaki. This book promises to be an enlightening exploration of how shifting our educational focus can empower the next generation to navigate the complexities of monetary responsibility successfully. Join us as we unravel Kiyosaki's compelling arguments and insights into crafting a legacy of financial literacy. Why A students work for C students and B students work for the government. Rich Dad's Guide to Financial Education for Parents. Introduction. Why a financial education is crucial for your kid's success. Every parent dreams of offering their child the best leg up in life, particularly when it comes to educational opportunities. Yet there's a critical gap in the standard curriculum that might be holding our children back: financial literacy. Our schools are adept at preparing students to be employees, teaching them to strive for good grades and secure stable jobs. However, they fall short in schooling them on the nuances of financial independence and entrepreneurship. The reality is that most educators are not primed to teach about finances. Their expertise lies in clear-cut, black-and-white answers, not the shades of grey that dominate financial decision-making. In school, children learn to avoid debt and save for the future, but aren't taught about generating different types of income or understanding a financial statement. This gap leaves a vital role for parents, filling in these financial blanks. However, to do so effectively, a parent might first need a crash course in financial education themselves. This guide is designed to not only highlight the importance of financial literacy, but also to provide practical tools and strategies to help parents integrate these lessons into their children's lives, starting from a young age and continuing into adulthood. From educational games like Monopoly that subtly instill economic principles, to understanding the roots of financial greed and learning why simply handing out money isn't a wise parenting strategy. This narrated guide serves as a primer for parents on how to equip their children with a foundational skill set that schools typically overlook, but one that is crucial for real-world success. Part 1: Timing and Tactics in Teaching Financial Literacy to Children. When is the right moment to start teaching your child about finances? While there's no universal answer, a practical indicator is their ability to distinguish between different bills, like a $1 bill from a $5 bill. Once they grasp this, they're ready to embark on their financial education journey, a journey that spans years and evolves through different stages of learning, each tailored to the child's growing needs and experiences. The essence of effective financial education lies in its adaptability, crafting lessons that resonate with the learner's age and abilities. From birth to around age 12, children experience what's known as quantum learning. In this phase, their brains are incredibly receptive. They absorb and learn from every new experience effortlessly. Around age 4, as the brain's hemisphere starts specializing, the left favoring analytical thought and the right leaning towards creativity, parents have a unique opportunity. Introducing financial concepts through games like Monopoly can be particularly effective during this stage. These games stimulate both hemispheres, ensuring comprehensive engagement, regardless of which side of the brain the child favors. Transitioning into adolescence, children enter the rebellious learning stage around 12 years old. Learning fundamental skills becomes more challenging as they begin to assert their independence and desire to make their own choices. Despite their growing autonomy, they may not fully understand the consequences of their decisions. This stage constrains parent-child dynamics, but it presents an opportunity to guide them through real-life financial scenarios, discussing the potential outcomes of various financial decisions as they arise. The final stage, professional learning, occurs in young adulthood when theoretical lessons meet practical application. As young adults navigate their initial career paths and financial independence, they build upon the foundational knowledge imparted during childhood. This period is crucial for reassessing and realigning career choices if the initial path proves unsuitable. Each learning stage is pivotal, building progressively towards a comprehensive understanding of finance, preparing children not just to manage money, but to thrive financially in the real world. Up next, we'll explore strategies to help your child choose and navigate their career paths effectively. Part 2. Why your position in the cash flow quadrant matters more than your job title. Choosing the right career might seem like the pivotal decision of your professional life, but there's something even more crucial: determining your position within the cash flow quadrant. This concept isn't typically taught in educational institutions, yet understanding where you fit within this framework can significantly influence your financial trajectory and independence. The core insight here is: finding your place in the cash flow quadrant is more important than choosing a specific profession. The cash flow quadrant categorizes income earners into four distinct types, each represented by a letter. E stands for employees, the category where most people traditionally fall. S represents the self-employed or small business owners, such as doctors or lawyers who earn through commissions or fees. B refers to big business owners, the entrepreneurs who establish companies that employ large numbers of people, like Steve Jobs did. Lastly, I is for investors, individuals like Warren Buffett, who make their wealth work for them, distinct from passive investors in pension or 401k plans. Educational systems primarily prep students for life as an E or an S, geared towards securing a stable job or practicing a specialized profession. However, these two quadrants often face the largest tax burdens. In contrast, those in the B and I quadrants typically enjoy significant tax advantages and a clearer path to financial independence. A key shortcoming of traditional education is its focus on cultivating specialists rather than generalists, suitable for success in the E and S quadrants, but less so for the entrepreneurial and investment opportunities in the B and I quadrants. Entrepreneurs and investors tend to thrive on a broader skill set that allows them to see beyond narrow specializations. Academic success, measured by grades, often correlates with proficiency in specific subjects, a world defined by binaries like right or wrong, pass or fail. It's observed that A students usually excel as specialists within the E or S quadrants, while C students might possess broader perspectives valuable for entrepreneurial or investment success. Hence the saying, A students work for C students. It's important to remember that starting your career in one quadrant doesn't chain you to it. As your professional learning progresses and you gain deeper insights into what truly suits your skills and ambitions, transitioning between quadrants is entirely possible. What matters most is identifying and nurturing your primary income source, a subject we'll delve into next. Part 3. Teaching children about the three types of income for better financial literacy. As parents, it's essential to guide our children through the complexities of income types, especially since the ability to transition between different cash flow quadrants hinges on understanding and managing these income streams. There are three main types of income: ordinary, portfolio, and passive, each with unique characteristics and tax implications. The crucial lesson here is educate your children on the difference between ordinary, portfolio, and passive income. Ordinary income is what most are familiar with. It's the regular paycheck received from a job. Unfortunately, this type of income is subject to the highest tax rates, which also applies to earnings from savings accounts and 401k plans. Given the complexity and the high taxation of ordinary income, introducing children early to the concept of taxes and how they impact earnings is beneficial. Next, we have portfolio income, which primarily comes from investments, known as capital gains. While portfolio income can potentially elevate one's financial status beyond ordinary income, it still faces significant taxes and inherent risks. A common misconception is diversification within portfolio investments, often skewed within similar sectors, thus not providing true risk mitigation. The third type, passive income or cash flow, is the gold standard for reaching financial independence. This income comes from assets, not to be confused with liabilities, like many mistakenly categorize their primary residence. True assets, such as rental properties, consistently generate income and are taxed favorably compared to other income types. Passive income, essentially, puts money in your pocket without the active work that ordinary income demands. A practical way to illustrate these concepts to children is through games like Monopoly, which mimics real estate investment strategies. In Monopoly, players who generate passive income by building houses and hotels on their properties are more likely to succeed, highlighting the importance of assets that produce ongoing income. Understanding the differences between ordinary, portfolio, and passive income not only prepares children for better financial decisions, but also equips them with knowledge that surpasses typical schooling. Schools primarily teach how to earn an ordinary income. Thus, it falls upon parents to broaden their financial perspective. This education empowers them to navigate their financial future strategically, potentially moving them towards the more lucrative quadrants of big business and investment. Part 4. How financial literacy secures a young person's sense of future stability. Many individuals leave their academic institutions without a fundamental perception of financial management, thrusting them into a state of financial desperation as adults. This desperation often propels them to cling to well-paying positions at any cost, which, in turn, fosters environments where the focal concern is self-preservation rather than company welfare. This scenario underpins why financial education is more than a luxury. It's a necessity for fostering a sense of control and security over one's future. The essential message here is, financial education allows young people to feel a sense of control and security over their future. In 1943, Abraham Maslow introduced his renowned hierarchy of needs, conceptualizing our motivators in life as a pyramid. Basic physiological necessities like food and shelter form the pyramid's base. Only once these are secured, we can aspire towards higher levels, which include safety, love, esteem, and self-actualization, with safety being a critical, yet often overlooked foundation. Safety, according to Maslow, encompasses not just physical safety, but financial security as well, including stable employment and reliable resources. Schools often overlook this aspect, focusing more on academic than fiscal education, leaving students ill-prepared to navigate the uncertainties of financial responsibilities and making them vulnerable to economic desperation. Contrary to popular narratives that depict wealth as a path to greed, think of the misers portrayed in classic literature like Charles Dickens's A Christmas Carol. Desperation, not wealth, is often the root of greed. Financially desperate individuals might adopt attitudes of entitlement, which can lead to selfish or unethical financial decisions. Parents can play a pivotal role in mitigating this desperation through education. Instead of directing kids towards typical part-time jobs, parents might encourage them to seek opportunities that provide significant learning experiences, whether that's earning practical insight from a mentor or learning through varied roles in a service job. This approach not only equips them with a diverse skill set, but also instills an understanding of business dynamics, which are invaluable for future endeavors. These strategies are aimed at providing young people with a robust sense of autonomy over their financial futures. Feeling secure in one's economic stability is the stepping stone to achieving higher levels of fulfillment and self-actualization, as outlined in Maslow's theory. Financial literacy, therefore, is not just about money management, but about cultivating an empowered, well-rounded individual. Part 5. Teach your children the value of earning, not just receiving. Entitlement can be a dangerous mentality, and it seems to be growing more common. Many believe they deserve everything without putting in the effort. This belief is not what we want to instill in our children. The antidote? Begin by reframing how we handle money with our kids. The key message here is, don't give your kids money. It's a common pattern. Parents expressing love through financial gifts, whether that's the latest sneakers, toys, or even cars. This might seem benign, but it sets a precedent. Children raised this way may grow to expect that they should get whatever they want, just by asking. This isn't merely a household issue. It's reinforced by societal norms, where everyone gets a trophy just for participation, sending a mixed message about reward and merit. Yet, money is fundamentally a tool for exchange. You provide value, and in return, you receive something of equal value. When children are simply handed money, they receive without giving, sowing seeds of entitlement rather than teaching the intrinsic value of work and the satisfaction of earning. Rather than dispensing a routine allowance, why not introduce a system where money is earned based on chores or special projects? This method echoes the real-world principles of compensation for effort and amplifies the lesson that hard work is often directly proportional to reward. It's also an excellent opportunity to discuss generosity, showing that what you put into the world, in effort, time, or kindness, often comes back in various forms, not just monetary. Reflecting on the old proverb, "Give a man a fish, and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime." Ask yourself, are you equipping your children with the skills to fish for themselves? This approach doesn't just prepare them to navigate the financial aspects of life, it equips them to value their contributions to the world, understanding that true worth is earned, not given. Part 6. Empowering your kids to distinguish between financial advice and financial education. Understanding the distinction between financial advice and financial education is critical. Yet many confuse the two, leading to widespread financial missteps. Essentially, while financial advice involves someone else directing how you should manage your funds, financial education empowers you to make those decisions on your own. The crucial insight to impart here is, teach your kids to know the difference between financial advice and financial education. When receiving financial advice, it's vital to consider the advisor's motivations. For example, a financial advisor may recommend diversifying your stock portfolio, yet regardless of the outcome, they earn a commission. Similarly, a banker might encourage saving not because it benefits you, but because it leads to potential loans or credit card applications, from which the bank profits. In these scenarios, your lack of financial knowledge translates directly into profit for them. Financial education, on the other hand, equips you to understand and utilize financial concepts to your own advantage. It starts with mastering the language of finance, recognizing not just the terms, but also the interrelationships among them. For instance, understanding what income genuinely means can be demonstrated through the purchase of an asset like rental property, which increases your income, contrasting starkly with liabilities that diminish it. Debt, often vilified in financial discussions, serves as a prime example of a concept that requires nuanced understanding. While debt can indeed be a liability, it can also be strategically used as an asset. Consider the scenario where a loan taken to purchase a rental property not only covers its own costs, but also enhances your passive income. Here, the debt transforms into an asset. The goal of true financial education is to foster the ability to view situations from multiple perspectives. Debt can be both beneficial and detrimental, depending on its use. Similarly, a millionaire might be labeled greedy by some and ambitious by others. By teaching our children to see these various angles, we equip them with the critical thinking necessary to make well-informed financial decisions themselves, rather than relying on others' instructions. Don't just tell your children what to do with their money. Instead, offer them the tools and understanding they need to make those decisions confidently and independently. This knowledge not only sets them up for financial success, but also instills in them a powerful sense of autonomy over their economic futures. Final summary. The overarching theme here is clear. A robust financial education is indispensable in setting our children up for success, far beyond what we might have achieved ourselves. The onus is on us as parents to be the primary educators when it comes to the language of money. Importantly, we can't depend solely on schools or external educational systems to impart this critical knowledge. The responsibility lies with us to guide our children, teaching them the necessary skills and understanding to navigate the financial aspects of their lives intelligently and effectively. By investing time and effort into their financial education, we equip them with more than just knowledge. We empower them with the tools to create a secure, prosperous future, leveraging financial literacy as a pivotal advantage in their lives. This proactive approach in teaching them about income types, the impact of financial decisions, and the value of money will pave the way for their financial independence and success. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.